Lonesome Dove stands as one of the greatest American novels ever written, a masterpiece that transformed the Western genre when published in 1985. Larry McMurtry's Pulitzer Prize-winning epic captivated millions with its unforgettable characters and sweeping narrative. Initially conceived as a screenplay with Peter Bogdanovich and meant to star John Wayne, James Stewart, and Henry Fonda, the unproduced script evolved into this beloved novel. The subsequent Emmy-winning miniseries starring Robert Duvall and Tommy Lee Jones further cemented its cultural significance. Beyond entertainment, the book revitalized Western literature by stripping away romanticism to reveal the harsh realities of frontier life while maintaining deep humanity. Even Oprah Winfrey named it one of her favorite books of all time, calling it a love story, an adventure, and an epic of the frontier. At the heart of Lonesome Dove are Augustus Gus McCrae and Woodrow Call, former Texas Rangers now running the Hat Creek Cattle Company in the dusty border town of Lonesome Dove. Though partners for decades, they couldn't be more different. Gus is philosophical, talkative, and fond of whiskey and women, spending countless hours on the porch philosophizing about life while drinking from his jug of whiskey. Call, by contrast, is stoic, duty-driven, and uncomfortable with emotion, often found working from dawn to dusk, breaking horses or mending fences with methodical precision. Their contrasting personalities create a dynamic that drives much of the story's tension and humor, with Gus needling Call about his rigid ways while Call silently endures his partner's endless commentary. Their quiet existence managing a small horse trading operation is disrupted when their old comrade Jake Spoon arrives with tales of Montana's unsettled paradise. Jake, once a fellow Texas Ranger of considerable skill, is now fleeing a murder charge after accidentally killing a dentist in Fort Smith, Arkansas. He paints Montana as a cattleman's dream, vast grassland stretching to the horizon, rich soil, plentiful water, and virtually no competition from other ranchers. His tales of this northern Eden fall on particularly receptive ears with Call, who has grown restless with their modest enterprise in Lonesome Dove. Call, despite being well into his 50s, becomes fixated on the idea of establishing the first cattle ranch in this untamed territory. The prospect awakens something in him that has laid dormant since his ranger days, the desire to accomplish something unprecedented. Gus, knowing his partner's nature better than anyone, reluctantly agrees to join the venture, though he sees through Call's pretense of business opportunity to the real motivation. Call's restless spirit needs one last great adventure to give meaning to his twilight years. The cattle drive they undertake becomes more than a simple journey. It evolves into a profound meditation on friendship, duty, and the changing American frontier. As they gather a crew of cowboys, including the young and eager Newt Dobbs, Call's unacknowledged son, several Mexican vaqueros, and former slaves turned cowboys, they create a microcosm of the American West. The stage is set for an epic journey that will test their mettle against nature's harshest elements, violent outlaws, hostile Indians, and their own mortality. Their ambitious decision to drive 3,000 cattle thousands of miles north represents both a beginning and an end, the start of their greatest adventure and the final chapter of their long partnership that began decades ago in the Texas Rangers. This journey will force both men to confront not only external challenges, but also the truths about themselves they've long avoided. While Lonesome Dove centers on a cattle drive through predominantly male territory, the women in the novel provide its emotional core and complexity, offering a nuanced perspective of feminine strength in the American frontier. Their stories weave through the narrative like vital tributaries, sometimes flowing parallel to the main action, other times dramatically altering its course. Lorena Wood, the beautiful young prostitute of Lonesome Dove's Dry Bean Saloon, embodies both vulnerability and resilience. Her dreams of San Francisco represent more than mere geographical escape. They symbolize her yearning for self-determination in a world that has given her few choices. Working in the dusty confines of the dry bean, she maintains a quiet dignity that sets her apart from other frontier prostitutes. Her careful saving of money, her selective choice of clients, and her determination to better her circumstances make her far more than a stereotypical whore with a heart of gold. When Jake Spoon, with his fancy clothes and grand promises, offers to take her to San Francisco, she sees not just an opportunity for escape, but a chance to reinvent herself. Lorena's journey becomes one of the novel's most harrowing and transformative arcs. Her kidnapping by Blue Duck, the monstrous half-Comanche outlaw whose very name inspires terror, subjects her to brutal physical and psychological trauma. The sequence of her captivity, told with unflinching detail, represents the darkest aspects of frontier violence. Her rescue by Augustus McCrae marks the beginning of a profound healing journey. Their relationship evolves into something unique and transformative, not quite romantic love, but a deep bond of protection, understanding, and mutual respect. Through Augustus's patient care, marked by small daily kindnesses and unwavering support, Lorena slowly reclaims herself. Her recovery isn't portrayed as a simple return to normalcy, but as a complex process of rebuilding, with moments of progress and regression that feel achingly real. Clara Allen stands as the novel's embodiment of practical wisdom and emotional authenticity. Living in Nebraska with her comatose husband Bob and their daughters, she has carved out an impressive independence. Her horse breeding operation and well-run household demonstrate her capability, while her sharp wit and clear-eyed view of the past make her uniquely compelling. When Augustus finally visits after 16 years, their reunion crackles with unresolved tension and mutual understanding. Clara's rejection of Augustus's marriage proposals years ago wasn't just about choosing Bob over him. It was about choosing the life she wanted to build over the wandering existence Augustus represented. Elmira Johnson's character provides a dark counterpoint to the other women's stories. Her obsessive pursuit of former lover Dee Boot, abandoning both her sheriff husband July and their newborn son, illustrates how the frontier's harsh realities could destroy rather than strengthen. Her journey becomes increasingly desperate and delusional, leading to a tragic end that serves as a reminder of the frontier's unforgiving nature. Through Elmira, McMurder explores themes of maternal rejection and self-destructive passion that add another layer of complexity to the novel's portrayal of women's experiences. These women, navigating a masculine world with varying degrees of success, demonstrate remarkable resilience and agency. Their stories challenge traditional Western narratives by showing how women's experiences and choices shaped the American frontier just as significantly as men's adventures. Through their intersecting journeys, McMurder creates a richer, more textured vision of the Old West, where strength takes many forms and survival requires more than just physical courage. McMurtry strips away the romantic veneer of the American West, presenting instead a landscape of brutal honesty that defies Hollywood mythmaking. The cattle drive from Texas to Montana traverses some of the continent's most challenging terrain, from the snake-infested rivers of Texas to the barren, waterless stretches of Wyoming and the fierce storms of the northern plains. Nature itself becomes an antagonist, testing the cowboy's endurance and will with a relentlessness that transforms daily survival into an achievement. The journey's hardships accumulate with grinding inevitability. Young Sean O'Brien's death from water moccasin bites during a river crossing serves as an early reminder of nature's indifference to human ambition. The devastating sandstorm that separates the herd doesn't just threaten the drive's success, it nearly suffocates the men, leaving them with sand-scoured skin and bloodshot eyes. When thirst drives the cattle temporarily blind as they cross a waterless stretch, the cowboys must choose between pushing forward and watching their investment die slowly. The grizzly bear's savage mauling of their prized Texas bull becomes a metaphor for nature's raw power against human presumption. These natural challenges emerge not as dramatic set pieces, but as the expected hazards of frontier life, where each day brings new threats to survival. Human violence proves equally commonplace, matching nature's brutality with calculated cruelty. Blue Duck's kidnapping of Lorena reveals the dark underbelly of frontier freedom. His casual brutality toward his victims demonstrates how quickly civilization's protections can vanish in lawless territories. The Suggs brothers epitomize frontier nihilism. Their senseless murder and burning of innocent settlers, including women and children, highlighting how thin the veneer of civilization remains. Even our heroes cannot escape participation in this violence. Call and Augustus's hanging of Jake Spoon alongside the murderous Suggs gang, despite recognizing his essential innocence, shows how frontier justice must sometimes sacrifice nuance for necessity. Death arrives with stunning randomness, refusing to conform to narrative expectations. Dietz, the skilled tracker, whose wisdom and kindness make him one of the novel's moral centers, dies ingloriously from a random Indian attack while trying to help a young brave. Augustus, the vibrant heart of the story, succumbs not to a heroic gunfight, but to gangrene after a seemingly survivable wound, his slow death emphasizing the frontier's indifference to human dignity. These deaths aren't noble sacrifices, but the random cruelties of a world that refuses to acknowledge human importance. Through these unsparing depictions, McMurtry reveals the true heroism of his characters, not in glamorous gunfights or romantic conquests, but in their stubborn persistence through suffering, their unwavering commitment to one another, and their determination to build something lasting in a landscape that resists permanence. The novel suggests that real courage lies not in seeking glory, but in facing each day's challenges with quiet resolve, knowing that death or disaster might arrive at any moment, yet continuing forward anyway. At its core, Lonesome Dove explores the intricate bonds between people struggling to connect across vast emotional distances, both physical and psychological. The friendship between Call and Augustus forms the novel's backbone, a partnership of opposites that has endured for decades despite their fundamental differences. Augustus, the garrulous philosopher who finds meaning in conversation and human connection, needles Call about his emotional constipation and workaholic tendencies. Call, stoic and duty-bound, tolerates Augustus's philosophical ramblings, drinking, and seeming idleness, while secretly relying on his friend's wisdom and loyalty. Their constant bickering disguises a profound bond that only fully reveals itself in the wake of Augustus's death, when Call's grief manifests in his grueling journey to fulfill his friend's final wish for burial in Texas. The father-son relationship between Call and Newt provides the story's most poignant thread, illustrating the devastating impact of emotional unavailability across generations. Though everyone in the camp knows Call is Newt's father, the result of a brief relationship with a prostitute named Maggie who died in childbirth, Call cannot bring himself to acknowledge the boy. Newt's yearning for recognition and Call's inability to provide it create a quiet heartbreak that runs throughout the novel, made more painful by Call's obvious pride in Newt's growing competence as a cowboy. When Call finally gives Newt his prized horse at the end, but still cannot give him his name, the gesture encapsulates both his growth and his limitations as a father. Romantic relationships in Lonesome Dove are equally complex and often tragic. Augustus's enduring love for Clara, despite her marriage to another man, represents the road not taken and the price of pride and poor timing. Their reunion reveals both the persistence of their connection and the impossibility of recapturing lost opportunities. Jake's casual cruelty toward Lorena, using her affection while feeling nothing himself, reveals how exploitation often masquerades as affection in the harsh frontier environment. July Johnson's dogged pursuit of his unloving wife Elmira demonstrates how devotion can become self-destruction when not reciprocated, leading him on a futile quest that cost him everything. Even minor relationships carry profound emotional weight. The friendship between P.I. and Dietz, built on years of shared experience rather than conversation, demonstrates the quiet dignity of working partnerships. Dish Bogat's unrequited love for Lorena persists despite constant rejection, showing how hope can survive in the face of futility. Pa Campo's fatherly mentoring of the young cowboys reveals how substitute families form in the absence of biological ones. These connections form a complex web that sustains the characters through their hardships, making the inevitable separations and deaths all the more affecting. McMurtry excels at showing how these relationships evolve under pressure, revealing depths and fractures that might have remained hidden in more comfortable circumstances. The cattle drive becomes a crucible that tests every bond, strengthening some while breaking others entirely. Through dust storms, river crossings, and Indian attacks, the characters' true natures emerge, and their connections either deepen or dissolve. The novel suggests that it's these relationships, even the failed ones, that give meaning to the harsh existence of the American frontier. Lonesome Dove is fundamentally about transition, the closing of the American frontier, and the passing of a way of life. Set in the 1870s, the novel captures a moment when the mythic West was already fading. The Texas Rangers' glory days of fighting Comanches are over, replaced by the more prosaic challenges of cattle ranching. The great buffalo herds are disappearing, with Augustus noting the road of buffalo bones they follow north. Even Montana, the last unsettled territory, won't remain so for long. Augustus understands this transition better than anyone. "We've killed off most of the people that made this country interesting to begin with," he tells Call, recognizing their role in displacing the native inhabitants. He predicts that bankers and lawyers will follow them north, bringing the very civilization they're trying to escape. His cynical wisdom sees the cattle drive for what it is, not a new beginning, but a last gasp of freedom before the encroachment of modernity. Call, however, remains caught in the past, unable to adapt to changing times. His rigid code of honor, so useful during the Ranger days, leaves him ill-equipped for a world growing increasingly complex. His journey back to Texas with Augustus's body becomes a literal carrying of the past, unable to let go even when practicality demands it. The novel's ending emphasizes this theme of transition. Call returns to Lonesome Dove to find it changed, the Dry Bean Saloon burned down, new buildings erected, different faces in the streets. Only Bolivar remains, ringing the dinner bell as if no time has passed. The Hat Creek Cattle Company sign, used first as a travois to carry Augustus's coffin and then as his headstone, symbolizes the impermanence of their enterprise. Call himself acknowledges this when asked where the outfit is located. "Buried, what ain't in Montana?" In this twilight setting, McMurtry creates an elegy not just for his characters, but for an entire era, one whose passing brings both loss and necessary progress. The cattle drive exacts a devastating physical and psychological toll on everyone involved. By journey's end, many of the original party are dead or forever changed. Sean O'Brien dies from snake bites before they even leave Texas. Jake Spoon is hanged by his former friends after falling in with murderers. Dietz is killed by Indians while helping retrieve stolen horses. Augustus dies from gangrene after a seemingly minor wound. Those who survive carry visible and invisible scars. The journey transforms each character in profound ways. Newt evolves from an uncertain boy to a capable young man, earning respect through his growing skills with horses and his unfailing work ethic. Lorena, after her traumatic kidnapping and rescue, finds healing and purpose at Clara's ranch, gradually reclaiming her voice and agency. Dish Bogat's unrequited love for Lorena matures into a more grounded appreciation for Sally, Clara's daughter. Even the taciturn P.I. discovers reserves of courage he never knew he possessed during his harrowing escape from the Indians who wounded Augustus. Call undergoes perhaps the most subtle yet significant transformation. His rigid self-control begins to crack after Augustus's death, revealing the deep emotions he's always suppressed. His promise to return his friend's body to Texas becomes both a burden and a form of atonement. Though he never fully acknowledges Newt as his son, he does begin to treat him with greater respect and responsibility. When Clara confronts him about his emotional failures, calling him a vain coward for all your fighting, her words wound him precisely because he recognizes their truth. These transformations aren't always positive or complete. Some characters break rather than grow. Elmira's obsessive pursuit of D-Boot leads to her death. July Johnson's devotion to duty becomes a hollow shell after losing his wife, stepson, and deputy. The journey reveals character rather than creating it, exposing what was always present beneath the surface. As the novel draws to its close, questions of legacy and remembrance emerge as central themes, interweaving personal mortality with the broader transformation of the American frontier. What remains of a life once it's over? How will these characters be remembered, if at all? Augustus McCrae, always the most contemplative and philosophical of the group, seems most preoccupied with this question. His insistence on being buried in Texas rather than Montana speaks to his desire for continuity with his past, a final return to the land that shaped him. Yet the crude marker Call creates, the company sign with AM scratched on the back, poignantly suggests how quickly even the most vibrant lives fade from memory, reduced to mere initials in wood. Call's arduous journey back to Texas with Augustus's body becomes an extended meditation on remembrance and obligation. As he traverses the harsh landscape, he encounters people fascinated by his mission, though none truly comprehend its deeper meaning. The story of the man carrying his friend home spreads across the frontier like wildfire, becoming a legend even before Call completes his task. Cowboys, settlers, and townspeople all share versions of the tale, each adding their own interpretations. Yet Call himself, bound by duty and friendship, can never fully articulate why he's undertaking this grueling journey, beyond the simple fact of his promise, a characteristic that defines his entire relationship with Augustus. The novel suggests that true legacy lies not in monuments or even memories, but in the ripple effects of lives touched and changed. Augustus lives on through multiple channels, through Lorena, whose life he saved and transformed from prostitution to independence, through Clara, whose love for him never fully died, and through the countless people who experienced his wit and wisdom. Call's legacy continues most prominently through Newt, regardless of whether he ever formally acknowledges him as son. The young man carries forward not just Call's blood, but his values of duty and perseverance. The Hat Creek Cattle Company may disappear as an entity, but the ranch they established in Montana will continue under new management, a testament to their vision and determination. Even Jake Spoon, for all his moral failings and tragic end, leaves behind his distinctive pacing horse, which serves Newt well, a small but significant inheritance. In the end, McMurtry suggests that remembrance is both essential and futile, a paradox at the heart of human existence. The American West that Call and Augustus helped to shape is already disappearing by the novel's conclusion, their exploits either forgotten or transformed into simplistic legends that bear little resemblance to the complex reality. Yet their impact on those who knew them intimately, Newt, Lorena, Clara, P.I., and others, remains profound and lasting, creating a web of influence that extends far beyond their physical presence. The tension between these two forms of legacy, the public myth and the private truth, creates the novel's bittersweet conclusion, suggesting that while we may not control how history remembers us, our true legacy lives on in the lives we've touched and the changes we've inspired in others. Nearly four decades after its publication, Lonesome Dove continues to resonate with readers because it transcends the limitations of the Western genre while honoring its traditions. McMurtry creates characters of such depth and authenticity that they feel like people we've known rather than fictional constructs. The sprawling narrative captures both the vastness of the American landscape and the intimate details of human connection with equal precision. The novel's unflinching portrayal of frontier life, its violence, hardship, casual racism, and sexism, provides a necessary corrective to romanticized versions of Western expansion. Yet McMurtry never descends into cynicism. The friendship between Call and Augustus, Newt's coming of age, Lorena's journey from exploitation to self-determination, and Clara's fierce independence all affirm the possibility of meaning and connection even in the harshest circumstances. Perhaps most powerfully, Lonesome Dove captures a pivotal moment in American history, the closing of the frontier, and explores its implications for national identity. The cattle drive from Texas to Montana represents both the culmination of Western expansion and its inevitable end. As Augustus observes, they are the last people, the final wave of pioneers before civilization overtakes the wilderness. In Call's final return to Lonesome Dove, now changed almost beyond recognition, we see the bittersweet reality of progress. The frontier that shaped these characters is disappearing, yet something new is emerging in its place. This tension between nostalgia and forward movement, between mythic past and prosaic present, gives the novel its emotional resonance and historical significance. Lonesome Dove endures because it speaks to fundamental human experiences, friendship and loneliness, love and loss, ambition and disappointment, while placing them within a quintessentially American context. It reminds us that even as landscapes and societies transform, the essential human struggles remain remarkably consistent. In Augustus and Call, in Lorena and Clara, in Newt and Dietz, we recognize aspects of ourselves, navigating our own frontiers with the same mixture of courage, folly, and hope.